The opening hymn is number 54. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Open now the crystal fountain, whence the healing stream doth flow. Let the fiery, cloudy pillar lead me all my journeys through. Strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fear subside. Death of death and hell's destruction, land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises I will ever give to thee. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins. And by thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Let us pray. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, that we who for our evil deeds do worthily deserve to be punished, by the comfort of thy grace, may mercifully be relieved through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The lesson is written in Isaiah chapter 49, verses 8 to 13. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee. And I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat of the sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them. Even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highway shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Here endeth the lesson. The epistle is written in Galatians chapter 4, beginning at verse 21. St. Paul writes, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Here endeth the epistle. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. Christ hath humbled himself and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The Holy Gospel for this day is written in the 6th chapter of St. John's Gospel, beginning at the first verse. Glory be to thee, O Lord. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he saith unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus, therefore, perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our hymn is 347, Jesus, Priceless Treasure. Jesus, priceless treasure, fount of purest pleasure, truest friend to me. Ah, how long in anguish shall my spirit languish, yearning, Lord, for thee. Thou art mine, O Lamb divine, I will suffer naught to hide thee, naught I ask beside thee. In thine arms I rest me, foes who would molest me cannot reach me here. Lo, the earth be shaking, every heart be quaking, Jesus calms my fear. Lightnings flash and thunders crash, yet though sin and hell assail me, Jesus will not fail me. Satan, I defy thee. Death, I now decry thee. Fear, I bid thee cease. World, thou shalt not harm me, nor thy threats alarm me, while I sing of peace. God's great power guards every hour, earth and all its depths adore him, silent bow before him. Hence all earthly treasure, Jesus is my pleasure. Jesus is my choice. Hence all empty glory, not to me thy story, told with tempting voice. Pain or loss or shame or cross shall not from my Savior move me, since he deigns to love me. Evil world, I leave thee, thou canst not deceive me, thine appeal is vain. Sin that once did blind me, get thee far behind me, come not forth again. Past thy hour, O pride and power, sinful life, thy bonds I sever. Leave me now forever. Hence all fear and sadness, for the Lord of gladness, Jesus enters in. Those who love the Father, though the storms may gather, still have peace within. Yea, whate'er I here must bear, thou art still my purest pleasure, Jesus' priceless treasure. Amen.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. As we consider the feeding of the 5,000, we need to remember that in the Old Testament, the Lord delivered Israel from Egypt. And then, as they wandered in the wilderness, he fed them with manna for 40 years. This Old Testament miracle of the manna, the bread of God that came down from heaven and fed the children of Israel, this Old Testament miracle is a type or a shadow of which Jesus is the fulfillment and the substance. In chapter 6, verses 32 and 33, after the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life to the world. And so as we consider the feeding of the 5,000, we see that the people who experienced the miracle and Jesus link the feeding of the 5,000, the miracle here, with the manna in the wilderness. And so something of fulfillment is being given here for the life of the world. In our text, there's a brief notice that says in verse 4, the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. Now, this doesn't seem on the surface like an important notice, but it is, because it does link the feeding of the 5,000 to several things that we need to consider. Number one, in the first chapter of John, John the Baptist confesses that Christ is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And so, right at the beginning of the gospel, there is a mention of something to do with Passover. Just as a Passover lamb was sacrificed to deliver the children of Israel from the angel of death in the Passover, so it is that Jesus fulfills this. He is the true Lamb of God, and he takes away the sin of the world. This is also repeated for us in the Passion according to St. John, when after Jesus dies on the cross, it specifically mentions that his legs were not broken. And these things were done, it says in chapter 19:36, for these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. So here, Jesus in his death is likened to the Passover lamb. And so, something is going to happen here in this gospel account for today that has a connection to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. One more Passover notice is that the Passover feast was also called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And so, when we learn that 5,000 people are fed with bread, there is a connection here. So, we don't just have Jesus providing food for people, but we have Jesus performing a sign that points to him as the fulfillment of the prophecies in the Old Testament and as having come into the world for the life of the world. And this is being signified for us by this wonderful miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Now, Jesus knows exactly what he is going to do, but he tests his disciples. He says to Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Philip's response is, "Even if we had 200 pennyworth of bread, it would not be sufficient to feed every one of them if they took just a little." So Philip responds by saying that 7 months' salary would barely feed these people at all. And then Andrew points out that there was a young boy there that had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And then Andrew says, "What are they among so many?" The disciples readily point out the impossibility and hopelessness of the idea. What Jesus was testing them about is to see what their reaction would be, whether they would turn to him and turn the question back on him and in expectation and faith to wait for his solution to the problem. But they do not remember the wedding at Cana and the wonderful supply of wine that he gave at that time. And therefore they do not look to him in expectant faith. And so they fail the test. Jesus tells them to make everybody sit down. And then we have in our text that Jesus gives thanks for the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And he multiplies them to feed 5,000 men, not counting women and children, so much that there are 12 baskets of leftover fragments to be gathered. This miracle is a sign. Jesus taught the Word of God and performed miracles. The miracles of Jesus are meant to confirm the Word of Jesus and the identity of Jesus. And therefore, Jesus himself explains this miracle in chapter 6, verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now there's a number of things that we need to pay attention to. First, Jesus says, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. So, the miraculous feeding of the 5,000 with the bread of life is a sign pointing to the fact that whoever believes in Jesus has everlasting life. Just as no one in the course of nature is able to feed 5,000 people and more with 5 loaves and 2 small fish, so it is that we learn here that there is one Savior given among men by which we must be saved. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. He says, I am the bread of life. The sign pointed to him as the bread of life. And then he mentions the manna again. He says, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. They died. This, that is I, is the bread which comes down from heaven. All right. So Jesus here says that he was in heaven. He came down from heaven, sent by his Father, and that a man may eat thereof and not die. To eat the bread, which is Christ, is to believe in him. And whoever believes in him shall not die, but have everlasting life. And then Jesus, once again in verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. He refers to the incarnation. If any man eat of this bread, that is, if anyone believes in me, he shall live forever. And then, referring to his passion, he says, the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Notice the word give repeated two times. Jesus gives himself unto death. He gives himself over to the suffering and the crucifixion and the death on the cross, because this is God's plan of salvation unfolding. And this is how he brings life for the world. So the sign points to Christ as the bread of life. And the teaching of Jesus shows exactly what this means. Faith in Christ gives us everlasting life. Now, getting back to the miracle, many in the crowd draw the right conclusion. They say, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. So they realize that the sign of the feeding of the 5,000, that sign confirms that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah. In Deuteronomy 18, Moses prophesied the coming of the great prophet, and that God would send a prophet to the Israelites, and that they are to listen to that prophet. This is one of the messianic designations for Christ. And so we see here that many in the crowd are confessing that this miracle shows that Jesus is the Christ. But then these same people go on to concoct a plan that shows their false understanding. It says in verse 15, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. The proper response to such a wonderful miracle is to draw the conclusion that Jesus is the Messiah, that prophet, the Christ. But it is also that by faith in him, we submit to him, listen to him, and take our direction from him. But what these people do is they hatch a plan and they desire to co-opt Jesus for their purposes and their plans, from which Jesus withdraws himself. Jesus will not be made use of to fulfill other people's hopes, dreams, purposes, and plans. Jesus has come into the world to save people from sin and death and hell. He has not come into the world to save people from the oppressive Roman government or from any other oppressive government. He has not come to merely fulfill the wishes and the desires of people for temporal benefit. He has come as a savior of sinners to bring them to redemption, to pay for their sins, and to give them everlasting life. So when they plan to take Jesus by force to make him a king and thereby lead an uprising among the Romans, Jesus withdraws himself and goes away, and their plans are frustrated. Now, the next day, when everybody gets back into town, the people who witnessed the miracles are running all over the place looking for Jesus and looking for his disciples. And a long and difficult conversation takes place with Jesus and these people who he says to them that you sought me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Because I satisfied your bellies, this is why you are looking for me. So a long and difficult conversation takes place in which Jesus points to himself as the living bread, the bread of God, the bread of life, which comes down from heaven. And it says in verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. So we learn that many people who had been followers of Christ, as a result of the conversation that followed the feeding of the 5,000, decided that Jesus was not, after all, someone they wanted to follow. So Jesus, realizing this, said to the 12 disciples, "Will you also go away?" And then Simon Peter, answered him, showing that at least the 12 had learned a valuable lesson in seeing the miracle and in listening to the word that the miracle had confirmed. All right, they had been listening to Jesus. And so Simon Peter says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." And so, in the long run, the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, pointing to Jesus as the Passover lamb, the fulfillment of Passover, pointing to Jesus as the fulfillment of the manna from heaven, this sign that he is the one sent by God into the world in order to give eternal life to sinners. This lesson is learned by the disciples, and we are invited also in the consideration of this miracle and in the consideration of the discussion that follows to continue in our faith that Jesus is that Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we give you heartfelt thanks that despite the calamities of the world, despite every earthly disadvantage, we have a gracious God who sent his only begotten Son into the flesh to be the bread of God, the bread of life for the sins of the world. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that your grace
would so fill our hearts with faith and thanksgiving that we may cheerfully and peacefully and in the tranquility of the Spirit bear the tribulations that we must until you grant us deliverance. We pray for every Christian throughout the world that your blessed word of gospel truth would be a rock of comfort to their hearts in this troubling time. We pray that Christians would take their stand and bear with courage in the grace of God the trials that we must now endure. And we pray, Heavenly Father, take this trouble away from us. Bring healing, deliverance, and peace. We pray for our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, for its leaders, and for every congregation and pastor, that we would find in your grace what is sufficient for us in our weakness. We pray for our own congregation that you would keep us and provide for us and help us in this difficult time, that we may all come through on the other side giving thanks to you for your faithfulness. We pray for our whole nation, especially for the President and the Congress, the Governor and the Legislature of New York, and all our judges and magistrates, that good and right decisions will be made, and that we will work together as a community, both in the narrow sense and in the wider sense, to fight against this plague that now afflicts us. We pray your blessings upon our government during this time. We pray for those who are sick, who are in pain, for those who are afflicted by this disease, the coronavirus, and for those who have lost loved ones because of it. We pray, Heavenly Father, the comfort of the gospel of Jesus, and we pray for your healing hand to go forth and to do away with this great affliction and calamity. We pray for those who have wandered from the faith and fallen into error, that this may call them to repentance, that they would once more come to the Lord who has redeemed them, that they may receive the forgiveness of their sins and be strengthened in the true faith and kept until their very end. And we pray that you would keep us, dear Father in heaven, until the very end, that we may have a blessed death and enjoy the kingdom of glory with Christ forever. All these things we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Amen. Amen.